What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more in pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Online Hauser, like an online browser, and he was online. He was very good and on point. That's Adrian Hauser. This was a lovely game against the Mets. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts, and 9 whiffs. And a 26% CSW at 99 pitches. Why is that important for me to mention the pitches? Because the White Sox are going to let him go in this. And I was actually really surprised that Adrian Hauser was dropped by the Rangers earlier this year when he was an NRI. And they decided, you know what, we don't need Hauser. We're just going to go with, say, Kumar Rocker or Jerick Leiter, etc. I'm surprised because Adrian Hauser, he's throwing 95. And he was throwing 95 in the spring. I thought, man, this is kind of cool. He's 2 ticks up right now. And yeah, he's doing that. He also has a kick changeup now. This was also against the Mets. What? Oh my gosh. He gets the Orioles and the Royals next. I can see Adrian Hauser with his fastballs in the zone. It's like 6.9 extension. So it's not quite the 7 feet, but he's right there. 2 different fastballs, 95 miles per hour. And that changeup and curveball. That kind of works. That makes sense. 6/14 whiffs on that changeup. Orioles and Royals are next. I'm surprised that no one else went and got him. Then the White Sox, I know it's just so strange, but there it is. Ryan Nelson against the Pirates did well. That's great. He might get one more start against the Nationals. Eduardo Rodriguez would come after that. What's interesting about Nelson is I love his fastball. It's really good. It has all the things you want upstairs and extension and invert and fine attack angle at 95 plus, but there isn't anything else that he throws inside the arsenal. I think it should be the cutter at like 89. And this is actually 90-91 in this one, and he got 2 whiffs on the 2 he threw to lefties. But he's throwing the slower slider now. It's not as good. He still doesn't have a number 2 pitch. Imagine if he did. Imagine if he actually had that. But this was 6.2 innings of 0 runs against the Pirates for a win. You're happy with it. He gets the Nationals next. Sure, throw that. And we'll hopefully see more of Ryan Nelson after that, unless Eduardo Rodriguez replaces him completely. Ryan Weathers, speaking of all the Ryans, oh my gosh, this was an amazing one against the Padres. It's 3 straight starts of showcasing 97 plus miles per hour. This is actually technically 98 on average, 97.7. 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. He was so close to getting that quality start. Oh man, he had one batter on and they didn't let him do it. Go that final out. It's so annoying. He served you a Philly, fine. But that fastball is fantastic. And the changeup against right-handers is good. The sweeper against lefties is still kind of eh. And I also didn't really like the command overall on both pitches, the changeup and the sweeper. That said, the four-seamer is this foundational pitch. I mean, you're just watching him pepper 99 at times, and it's just woo-wee. It's good. It's got vert that you like. It's not empty velocity. Yeah, Ryan Weathers is a dude, and you should have him on your teams. He also has a decent schedule. Moving forward for the next three starts, maybe even 4. Yeah, go get Ryan Weathers. Okay, cool, awesome. Keydar Montero had a birthday party against the Giants. 5 innings of 0 runs. Nothing really to report here saying that there's anything we should really latch onto with Keydar Montero. Nope. Is that 92 and change on the fastball, not 94, 95 that you saw earlier on in the spring. The slider was really cool against right-handers. That's nice. That's what's always supposed to be there. That's why he's a major leaguer. But yeah, there's nothing new here, and we don't want this. Chad Patrick was PL Bots pick of the day, and oh, so close, because 4.2 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. 79 pitches, but 4.2 innings, and you just need one more out, otherwise it would have been a streaming victory for PL, but I'm so sorry. I mean, you can even say it's pretty much a one whip, 0 runs and 6 Ks, right? But the rules of the game are you have to go 5 innings. It is so annoying that he gets pulled so quickly, but it's because there's nothing else really than the cutter, which is an effective pitch at like 87 miles per hour or so. Maybe it's 86, 87. Sometimes the four-seamer does do a little bit more with whiffs, but yeah, it's hard for me to really rely on this because it's just really the cutter for the most part, and the Brewers seem to know that. So they're not going to let him go further on into these games. Kevin Gausman against the Rangers. Oh man, let me tell you something. Kevin Gausman is fixed. This is something that the list that might surprise a lot of people about the list. But yesterday, I think I had Gausman in like the 70s because, or initially did, because a week ago, Gausman didn't have his last 2 starts. And we had no idea when Gausman would figure it out, if he would, because it had been 41 games. Let me tell you this, 41 games of Kevin Gausman returning just 3 starts of 11 or more whiffs on his splitter. across 41 games. That includes the last game of 2023 and all of 2024, and then the first, what, eight starts of 2025. Only three starts in, they were all in 2024, okay? He has had two straight games of 11-plus whiffs on the splitter now, and that happened after I put out the list last week. So I have seen this, and I go, oh my gosh, did he actually do something? And what do you know? Yes, he talked about how he had to change his finger placement. He did it. Splitter's back in action. It's awesome. It's Kevin Gausman back again. Velocity's there and everything. It's just a splitter is now has the extra drop that you used to get. Ah, it's so nice to have you back, Kevin Gausman. So yeah, he's in the 30s now? He deserves it. It's just kind of how it works. Zach Littell against the Twins got the win. Six innings, one earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. And here's the thing. Zach Littell, over 8 straight starts. Oh man, I have it ran as a 296 ERA. No, it's a 2.96 ERA with a 103 whip, but a 15% strikeout rate across 48.2 innings. And that's pretty great. I mean, that's 6 innings per on average, which of course then would be a quality start on average in these outings. However, that 15% strikeout rate, and what's also so strange is he's allowed 9 home runs in those 8 games, but they also were only 16 earned runs because a lot of those were solo shots. And his BABIP is really low. His left on base rate's sky high, 91%. And really what's going on is that the splitter is the good pitch. It is a 62% strike rate with a 31% ICR. Everything else gets pummeled. Thing is, against righties, that turns into a 39% ICR. And guess what? He gets the Astros next, who are going to throw a ton of right-handers against him. Yeah, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. I just think that this is a lovely moment for him. If you want a Vargas rule, by all means, it's still a 15% strikeout rate. Keep that in mind. Jameson Taillon against the Rockies. Yeah, Rocky Road killed it. He's on a really good run. I don't think it's going to last for the full year. Does not matter. You just keep going with Taillon. Cool. Ryan Yarbrough was a huge surprise. He got the gold star, 36% CSW for a King Cole as well. The Fratty Pirate going 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts for the Yankees. 88 pitches. Oh my gosh. He did his old thing of, if you remember the old Eckersley quote about him pitching, it's just salad. It's just loose lettuce, essentially, off the outside edge. It works. It works against right-handed heavy lineups like the Angels here. So he gets the Dodgers next, and there's no way this is going to work again there. I'm sorry. It's a nice moment. No one expected this, not even the Yankees. They just said, okay, fine, whatever. We need to do something. And, oh, what is this? So do not buy into it. Clay Holmes against the White Sox, 5.2 innings and 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Not the most sharp outing we've seen from Clay Holmes, but it's kind of what he is a little bit. He's not very efficient. And it's fine. I mean, it's Clay Holmes. You're just going to keep rolling with it, and that's that. So let's move on. Garrett Crochet, 22 whiffs for a gallows pole against the Brewers. And I've been pretty down on him. I understand that people might be upset about it. I put him into Tier 1 last night. But Garrett Crochet is still not having the same four-seamer he used to have. Now, it is a better sweeper and cutter and sinker. He's adapting to utilize those better than last year. So maybe that's just good enough, and I should stop saying that his 6.7 extension as opposed to the 7.2 is a red flag. But it is a red flag. So, I don't know. Charlie Morton against the Cardinals, 6 innings of 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. What? That's a lovely birthday party for Charlie Morton. I'm so happy for him. And you are not going to start Charlie Morton after this. Okay, cool. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, 6 innings of 2 runs, blah, blah, blah. Ace is going to ace against the Guardians. We know this. He's good and everything's great. Chris Paddock had a great game against the Rays, 5.1 innings of 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. I even got a text from Jason Collette of RotoWire and, of course, Sleeper in the Bust, saying Chris Paddock looks terrific tonight. That's because it was against his Rays. He watches every Rays game. Chris Paddock has been really good since that first start of the year, and now he goes into Seattle at the T. Maybe that works. The Mariners are a better offense now, so it might negate some of the impact of the T than it used to have. But, yeah, it's a good four-seamer in changeup, split changeup. The slider still weirds me out. So we'll see what happens, but he's not the guy I need to go and get. go ahead and Vargas rule it if you'd like. Jacob deGrom against the Jays had a very weird one. I'm going to tell you all about it. And of course, everybody else after this break. Jacob deGrom went against the Jays and went 5.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, fine. 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? What? What? Jacob deGrom? Okay, he must have been throwing like 95. No, he was 96.5. Like, it was there. The slider was just above a 50% striker, but like, it was down and away to right-handers. Strange. Just strange. We move on. Carson Palmquist for the Rockies. He is a prospect getting his first starts this year. And again, went against the Cubs in Wrigley. 5 innings of 200 runs. That's awesome. He has 7.2 feet of extension, but it's 90 miles per hour, and it's not really that special, and we shouldn't be starting him on the road, and it's course. Okay. You have Nick Martinez against the Royals. 7 innings of 300 runs. 6 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks. He did what he got to do. Got the win. Get out of there. The changeup wasn't really utilized that much. He had his cutter and his fastballs sneak in and get outs. It worked. I'm happy. He gets the Cubs and Diamondbacks next. You do not want to go for Nick Martinez. Randy Vasquez, 6.1 innings of 300 runs without a win. It's a 1.17 whip with 5 Ks. It's kind of a dusty donut, kind of not. It's pretty much Randy Vasquez. You don't really want this for fantasy, but I'm happy for the Padres that they got something out of this. Eric Fede against the Orioles. 5 innings, 300 runs. He's a Toby at best. He's trying to be Spider-Man. That is the best Toby, but no. You don't want to go for this for the most part. You have Hayden Birdsong against the Tigers. 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Things unraveled a little bit in that fifth frame. A bit in the fourth, too, if I remember correctly. The upside is obviously still there, and it's a good schedule moving forward. But just understand, like, I've gotten a lot of questions and hype around Hayden Birdsong being like this big impact, oh my god, Lee Winger kind of pitcher. And no, I don't think he's that. I know he had that 12K game against the Rockies last year when the curveball was just absurd, but no, he's not. He's way too chaotic to be any sort of flat performance. Any sort of plateau of success is just not really possible. His four seamer is still all over the place. The curve and slider are just hoping to get enough strikes. Watching at bats of Hayden Birdsong is so boring and frustrating because it's just, I don't know where it's going to go. He doesn't know where it's going to go. It's a glove in the middle and hope for the best. And that's not the kind of guy I suggest going for traditionally. But yeah, I get it. He can have those really good games. And also, he has a good schedule. So fine. Like, we're going to go for this for now. Jack Ahanowitz against the Yankees. Honestly, 6.2 innings of 400 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks is not nearly as bad as you'd think against the Yankees. And also, the Jack of one trade with his sinker going over 50% usage once again went 8 whiffs for about a 16% swing strike rate on that sinker. That's pretty cool. If only everything else wasn't just bad, it might have actually been a decent night. Gavin Williams did not have a decent night. It was against the Dodgers, 4.2 innings of 400 runs, 4 hits, 6 walks, 3 Ks. Nick, how did you get me into this? I didn't, because it was the Dodgers. And I said, do not do this one. It was a questionable, and I didn't want to do it. If it's in questionable, guys, I'm not doing it in my leagues. Just so you guys know, if I'm doing it in my leagues, that means it's probable for the most part. And Gavin, I was like, yeah, you can bench him for this and be excited after and hope that we see the signs that make us excited for moving forward with him. And guess what? We got those signs. What were those signs? It was the, I guess that would be for him, a twirled single finger, because that's the cutter. The cutter was thrown 31 times for 74% strikes. What was the big problem with Gavin Williams earlier in the season? He has a fastball he can throw for strikes, and the sweeper and curveball are just not consistent enough, and he needs another strike pitch. What do you know? It's the cutter now. Bad news for Gavin here was that the four-seamer wasn't that great, and the slider and curveball were really bad. So the Dodgers fouled off a ton of these cutters, and it worked out the pitch count, 109 pitches for 4.2 innings. Also, those walks happened as a result, too. I mean, you just forget about it. Just think about Gavin Williams being a better pitcher now, because he is. He has a better arsenal. And now he gets the Angels, and then the Astros, and then goes in to Seattle to get the T, and then he gets the Giants, and I'm going for that. That sounds great. Gets right-handed Angels and Astros next. I think that's going to be so good for him. You have Andrew Heaney against the Diamondbacks. Yeah, he didn't do well because it's Andrew Heaney against the Diamondbacks. What do you want from me? You have Michael Lorenzen also, unfortunately, doing badly. 5 innings of 600 runs, 11 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. He tried to stroll on the Reds carpet, This was against Cincinnati in Kansas City, and he slipped and fell, and now everybody is just talking about it, and I feel bad for him. But yeah, you don't really want to go for Michael Lorenzen. But that is it for today. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm about to give away a 5 subscriptions to MLB.tv because people are here at the playback stream, and you listening to the end of this podcast, you know that tomorrow you can show up for my office hours at the beginning of the morning, and you have a chance to win a free subscription for MLB.tv for the year. So tune in tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that, and I'll see you there. But until then, my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.